Jesus. You don't know comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hey folks, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Hope you make a habit out of it. I think you probably will. Folks in 95 countries have done so, and so you're in good company. Quick reminder about the Kevi Knight contest. You know, the Kevi Knights need a logo. And so we're running a contest for those of you who have some talent in graphic arts. And we're giving away the excessively valuable Kevi Knight t-shirt, mug, and ball cap to the winner. It's better than gold. Take my word for it. Better than gold. And we've already got some entries. Now, we're going to run this contest through September. So you got a little bit of time. I wanted to give you plenty of time, you know, to work that into your schedule and do a little bit of graphic arts design for us there. And, you know, if you want to enter, you've got time, all right? But we have one thing that's coming to an end pretty quick. And that is the promotion by Jerry Wills and Expeditions TV. He's offering a memento, an artifact, if you will, a piece of reality from the Temple of Time and Space. The Temple of Time and Space is a very ancient sacred site in South America, in Pucar, and He while he was there for one of the expeditions from the area right around right near the Temple of Time and Space, picked up a rock as a memento. Now, it's not a gold bar. I understand that, but it is a piece of a very, very special place, and a place that most of us probably would never ever get to go. So, he's giving that away in a drawing, okay? Now, the drawing, it's not like a lottery or something like that. It's just, if you're a member of our members area, if you're subscribed and you're a member of our members area, your name will go into the drawing automatically. On August the 31st, Monday night, August 31st, we're going to have that drawing. And we'll do it right here on the air, and someone is going to win that. So it could be you, but you have to be subscribed to our members area, okay? Now, to do that, you just go to my website and click on the menu there where it says about the members area, and you'll see how to subscribe, all right? We've done several shows now on these deep space technologies, primarily deep space surveillance, and based on the amount of email that I've gotten, and it tells me that the interest is very, very high. So I did some additional research, And I want to bring that information to you tonight, and then we'll move on to other subjects. But tonight, what about all that deep space stuff? Is it real or not? We'll find out on the other side of this break. We have, over the past few shows, talked about this whole thing about the U.S. Air Force having plans to put something out in space called the Space-Based Space Surveillance System, or the SBSS. And so I started doing some checking on that. I wanted to know just where this thing is, because some questions came up. You know, well, is this already deployed? Did they go through with it? Is it a reality? And you know, I didn't know the answers to those questions, so I wanted to get those answers for you and bring them to the show. And so I started doing some research on this, and not surprisingly, because you run into this sort of thing every single time you get onto the internet and start trying to research something. Not surprisingly, I found a lot of conflicting information. I found one allegedly reputable source that said that, yes, you know, this was part of the plan, and they began to develop it, they began to work on it. It got moved over into the SDI, Star Wars Initiative, Space Defense Initiative. And then because of funding cuts, it died along with SDI. Well, when I saw that, I said to myself, you know, self, maybe this is a dead duck here. Maybe this is, maybe it's not happening. So I did some more checking, and I found, well, in fact, it didn't die. Some of the info that I found said that they began deploying these satellites for the space-based space surveillance system in 2006. I found other information that said they began deploying in 2008. So I don't know whether they began in 2006 or 2008. But there is one thing I know. I know that as of March 31st this year, that program was still alive and well. Those satellites are being built by Boeing and Ball Aerospace. And the photograph that folks are looking at on our TV channel, KSS-TV, shows you, as of March 31st, 2009, one of those satellites being worked on by the people at Boeing and Ball Aerospace. So that's what it looks like. You really can't tell much by looking at it. It's big, you know, it's not gigantic, but it's bigger than a bread box. And so it's a good size. So as of March 31st, 2009, this thing was still an active program. And as I say, I found reports that said they began deploying in 2006. I found reports that said they began launching these satellites in 2008. One of those may be true. Both may be an error. That's the way internet information goes. However, as I said with and showed you the picture, the thing was still an active program as late as March 31st of this year. All right? This year. So, yeah, is the space-based space surveillance system a reality? Yes, in one form or another, one stage of development or another, yes, I think we can safely say that it is. Now, those who heard the original show that I did on this, remember that I said that the U.S. Air Force came out with a document. They published it. It's not classified. They published the document in 2004. And it contains the information about the SBSS. And let me just say, I got several emails from people who said, you know, I didn't get that edition of the K-Files. And that does happen sometimes. The internet is quirky. And sometimes, as we send out the K-Files e-zine, for some reason, your server kicks it back. I think all of you know Robbie Thomas. The other day, I was trying to send Robbie Thomas an email. His server would send out emails, but his server would not receive any. So he could email me, but I could not email him. It kicked it back to me. And we had to go to an alternate email address because, for whatever reason, temporarily, the server that handles his email was kicking it back. Well, sometimes that happens when we send out the K-Files e-zine, and you don't get that particular issue. And people were saying, you know, in that edition, I put a link where you could download a PDF file of that entire document published by the U.S. Air Force. It's 176 pages. And so I put a link where you could download that, where you could have it for yourself. Some people missed it. So tonight, if you want that document, I want you to have it. And so what we've done is we've linked that document to my webpage. Here's what you do. You go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. When you get there, you will see a graphic about tonight's show. You click anywhere on that graphic, and it will take you to that download. Now, here's what you really ought to do. Right-click and then save target. It's a lot faster. It's a PDF file. It's 176 pages, so it's not a really small file. But if you right-click, you can save target as whatever you want to save it as. So it's available to you. If you missed the K-Files e-zine, then you can still get that download by clicking on the graphic about tonight's show, the picture about tonight's show, okay? All right, so we want you to have that. Now, in that program, I explained that they said that the purpose of this SBSS, part of its purpose was to look into deep space and be able to track and identify space forces in deep space. So I started looking on the internet for additional information about this this SBSS, and I found a little bit of additional information, but I also found something really, really interesting about deep space stuff, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Now, on the SBSS, the additional information that I found, all is pretty much toned down, and pretty much is all about, you know, it says that the purpose is to look into space out just beyond the geosynchronous orbits, and to track all of these little pieces of space junk that might pose a threat to our space-based assets. Now, that's very, very different from what I read to you on, I think it was Friday night. Because what I read to you on Friday night said that its purpose is to be able to track and identify space forces in deep space. Admittedly, and I told you this Friday night, I was quoting from an article written by Leonard David, who writes, he is the chief science writer for space.com. And so I was reading from an article that he wrote. I was quoting his article. But I wanted to see if I could find additional information about this SBSS. What I discovered, as I've described already for you, is that the information that's out there is garbled, the information that's out there, and you would expect it to be. The information is conflicting. Some of the information says the program was canceled, and other information says they began launching in 2006. Other information says they launched beginning in 2008. As of 2009, March 31st, 2009, we have a photograph of the Boeing and the Ball Aerospace people working on one of those satellites. And so it was still alive and kicking as of March 31st, 2009. So the information that we have out, sort of out there in public, is pretty cloudy and pretty garbled, but I think we can say with some assurance that the program exists and continues. And I would suspect that one of those dates, 2006 or 2008, I would suspect one of those dates is correct and that they did begin launching this back then. So its purpose is what's a little bit cloudy. Its purpose, according to Leonard David, is that it's to look into deep space and to be able to track space forces. And here's what it said: space forces in deep space to provide for offensive and defensive operations. Now, that's exactly what it said. That's the quote that I used on Friday night. As I said, I began researching this. I began taking a look at it and ran across additional information that about other space stuff that is sort of in the nature of it will roll your socks down. Okay. Here it is. Now, before I get into this, the caveat is this is in the public domain. It's out there on the internet. How accurate that is remains to be seen. But I thought you ought to have this information. And here it is. It has to do with the NSA's deep space probes and space surveillance. So it came up in the search because this has to do with their surveillance of space. And right off the bat, there is a mystery. Because the opening sentence of this says the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron unclassified mission states, and then it goes on to tell you what that is, and I'll get into that. But where it says the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron, that is a hyperlink. And in parentheses, it says, note, the Air Force removed this page. So I naturally click the hyperlink, and sure enough, that page is gone. So it must have had some pretty good stuff on it. Ostensibly, what was on that page made its way to this report that I am sharing with you, and the title of this report is The National Security Agency's Deep Space Probes and Space Surveillance. All right, the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron, according to this, unclassified mission states that it tracks all space objects from 3,000 to 22,000 miles. Okay, and then they report all of this to the NSA. So ostensibly, what the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron is doing is tracking space junk. And we know there's a bunch of it out there. There's no question about it. There is a bunch of space junk all around this planet. We are turning space into almost an inoperable area for humans because we leave junk out there. Little bits of this and that and tool bags, and we drop something and, you know, and it just floats around out there. At the last count, the actual people who actually are tasked with doing that are located in Florida. Did you know that? At last count, they had cataloged just over 16,000 pieces of space junk. Imagine that. 16,000 pieces of space junk. And they're tracking it down to 4 inches. So roughly the size of this pin, a little bit smaller than this pin, and they're tracking it. They have the most powerful radar array on planet Earth. And that's what they are doing, or at least that's what their public information says. They're doing that because they don't want some of that junk running into the space shuttle. They don't want the International Space Station to get hit with it. And, you know, they can move the space station. I don't know if you know that. They can move it to make it miss a little piece of junk coming through. And so, you know, that's what they're tasked with doing. But here we have the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron attached to the NSA. And they are doing the same thing in the range of 3,000 miles to 22,000 miles out. Now that's what the unclassified mission statement says. Now, you got to kind of wonder about this. I mean, isn't it NASA that runs space, or is it the NSA that runs space? Which is it? Because, you know, I think the popular conception is that NASA runs what America's doing in space, and that NASA's in charge of space exploration. What's the NSA doing in it? Why is this 18th Space Surveillance Squadron doing this task, reporting to the NSA, the same task that's being done by another unit in Florida and actually being done by some other units around the country and around the world, tracking stations that track all that junk? Have you ever seen a graphic representation of what it looks like around Earth? I mean, with all the junk that's being tracked by these various squadrons. Have you ever seen a picture of that? The Earth is just surrounded by a haze of junk that's man-made. We put it out there. Now, that's a big, big problem. And, you know, I've said before, whoever figures out how to go up there and clean that stuff up is going to make billions of dollars. Whoever figures out how to clean that stuff up is going to make a killing. They're going to make a lot of money. All right, we have to step away here for a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron's mission. As this report says, their classified mission. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back, and continuing now with this information. Again, the caveat is this that I am reading to you is from a website on the internet, and it may or may not be accurate. Now, here's what they have published. They said, however, and I quote, however, the classified mission, now this is the classified mission of the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron. The classified mission states, and then they have in quotation marks, here it is, the 18th Surveillance Squadron and its detachments track all space objects known and unknown And in parentheses, it says UFOs, and that raises a little bit of doubt in my mind. From 300 miles to deep space. The 18th monitors the NSA series of remote tracking satellites called Starband, and that's in parentheses, Starband, placed in orbit between Mars and Jupiter and between Saturn and Neptune and beyond. All information received from these remote tracking locations are forwarded to NSA. Close quote. The reason that I have some doubt about that being the actual classified mission statement, it may be. But in parentheses, it has UFOs, and that's a term not used, as far as we know, by the U.S. Air Force, by NASA. And this 18th Space Surveillance Squadron is U.S. Air Force. So that's not terminology that they normally would use. But there it is in this report that I printed off of the Internet. All right, well, let's assume for the sake of argument that this is basically the gist of their classified mission. They monitor from 300 miles to deep space. Now, this is the 18th Space Surveillance Squadron working under or for NASA. That's their client in this. Over the past years, there have been a number of intelligence reports to suggest that the NSA may have any number of what are termed deep space probes, some reaching out beyond Neptune. Now, we don't know exactly what the purpose of all of those probes might be. We don't have any idea exactly what's out there that they have to be out there looking. But this website provided a list of satellites that have been launched, probes that have been launched. With some of them, there is a note that tells you what the launch vehicle was. It gives you the date of the launch, and in some cases, what the classified mission for that probe was or is. What I found interesting about this is that the very first one on their list, it's not the first one in the list, but for the date, it goes back further than any of the others, is 1965. Now, folks, if you will recall, we had not landed on the moon yet, and here is a deep space probe being launched on behalf of the NSA, at least according to this information. All right, it says it was launched. The launch vehicle was a Titan rocket, and there's no other information about it. We don't know what it was, where it went, where its orbit is, what its mission is. But let me read some of these to you. Now, again, this is not insider information as far as I'm concerned. It's not like I've got someone on the inside that provided me this information. This information is in the public domain. It's out there on the Internet. That's where I got it. It may or may not be accurate, but by putting this information out tonight on this show, I know there are some folks listening who will know some things about this who can tell us whether it's real or not. So that's the purpose of this. It's not for any other purpose. Maybe you can give us a call when I open the phone lines, and you can tell us, well, this one is real or that one is real or whatever. Okay, maybe not. Maybe you're afraid to do that. But the purpose is to get you the information, and here it is. We're going to start with I just read the list as they have it here, and it's got some very interesting little tidbits in it here. The probe name was Stingray. It was launched October the 3rd, 1985. The space shuttle, STS-51-J, was flying a Department of Defense mission, and that was the launch vehicle for this probe. Now, its purpose, according to the column here that says classified mission, is to monitor deep space radio waves. Its orbit is beyond Neptune. Deep space radio waves, huh? Gets a little better. All right, here is one called Sandal Slipper. There's no data about the launch vehicle. It was launched in 1988. It is in Earth orbit. It is a relay for other probes. So, ostensibly, then, I would think we could say it's a communication satellite for the other probes. The next one launched in 1988 is called Amber Light. It is in orbit beyond Titan. Titan, you may remember, is one of the moons of Saturn. Titan is where they just deployed the, just, you know, last year, the Huygens probe. It was carried up by the Cassini satellite. We got those fantastic pictures back from Titan, and you can see lakes and oceans and looks like rivers, and fantastic, fantastic photographs that came back from Titan. Well, out beyond Titan, there is this, according to this, Amber Light, deep space probe belonging to the NSA. Launched in 1988. Its purpose is a secondary relay probe. So I guess, I mean, it looks to me like what you've got. You got one in orbit around the Earth, and it's a relay probe. Then you got one way, way out there beyond Titan. It's a relay probe. So things that are way out there further are sending information that Amber Light picks up, amplifies, and sends on to Sandal Slipper, which is then received by whoever's receiving it on Earth. I assume it would be this 18th Space Surveillance Squadron. So we've got two communication satellites. All right, in 1989... there was a probe launched that they called Cocker Peak. It was launched on an Atlas rocket, again, in 1989. Its mission, to monitor selective frequencies in deep space. Now, see, folks, maybe I have this all wrong. There's every possibility that I've got this all wrong. But it would seem to me, if you're sending something up there to monitor these selective frequencies in deep space, it would seem to me that there's someone out there broadcasting on those frequencies. It would seem to me that either there are humans out there, or there's somebody else out there in deep space. Now, deep space is beyond the geosynchronous orbits. Deep space is beyond the like the GPS satellites and all those geosynchronous satellites that are out there. 22,000 miles. 22,000 miles is a long ways. But relatively speaking, when we're talking about space, it's nothing. Deep space is way beyond that. So they sent this Cocker Peak probe up on an Atlas rocket in 1989 for the purpose of monitoring selective frequencies in deep space. Who's out there? Who is it that is broadcasting on those frequencies out in deep space. In 1989, this is 20 years after the first Apollo landing on the moon, a probe was sent up with the name Heaven Flare. Heaven Flare. There's no data about the launch vehicle. It's in orbit beyond the moon. You'll enjoy this next one. It's called Twinkle Eyes. Twinkle Eyes was sent up December the 2nd, 1992, and it rode aboard the space shuttle STS-53, Department of Defense mission. It is in orbit beyond Jupiter, and there's a question mark behind it. It says Deep Space Telescope. They're not really sure what that one is. There is one called Kite Tangle. Don't know what it rode up on, but it went up August 2nd, 1997. It is in orbit around Neptune, and no data about what its mission is. There are two other probes that were sent up that there's no data about, and then we get to National Reconnaissance Office, NRO, Deep Space Probe, called NROL-26. It went up on September the 1st, 2008, and all we know is it's a deep space probe. Now, after that, I have a list for which there's almost no information. There's some, but almost no information, of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight additional probes with almost no information, but I'll tell you what we have. We don't know the name, but the one in 1965 went up on a Titan rocket. Don't know what it's doing or where it is. The next one, we don't know what it's called, how it went up, but it went up in 1972. We don't know where it went or what it's doing. Another one in 1978, the same thing. June 27th, 1982, same thing. Don't know what it's called. We don't know what it rode into space. And we don't know where it is or what it's doing. August 30th, 1983, same thing. August 8th, 1989, same thing. And then we get to January the 9th, 1990. January the 9th, 1990, there was a probe, the name of which we don't know. We don't know where it is or what it's doing, but we know that on January the 9th, 1990, according to this chart, it rode on Space Shuttle STS-32 into space. Now, I think everyone has heard of Clark McClelland. Clark McClelland was a fixture at NASA for many years. When we come back, I'll tell you what he had to say about all this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this all this deep space stuff with let me get this audio adjusted here. We're talking about all this deep space stuff with the NSA and the U.S. Air Force. All right, now the question is it real? Well, obviously we can confirm that some of it is real. Some of it is genuine. I showed you a photograph. In fact, I'll show it to you again. This photograph is from March 31st, 2009. Now, this photograph is a photograph of one of the space-based space surveillance system satellites. That's what this is. And these are Boeing and Ball Aerospace employees ostensibly working on this. Okay, so as recently as March 31st, 2009, this is a program that's alive and kicking. It's still out there doing what it's supposed to do. Okay? Some of what I've shared with you this evening, we really don't have any way to independently verify it. The information is out there on the internet, and I dug it up. But let's talk about Clark McClelland here. Clark McClelland was a fixture at NASA for a long time. I have invited him to be a guest on this show. He has declined to do so, as he has declined to be a guest on almost, I think, on every talk show. He just doesn't do talk shows. But he says that some of these NASA probes are launched from the Kennedy Space Center. And he says that during classified missions, they loaded the payloads on the space shuttle at night under tight security. Few technicians had proper clearances to participate. An all-male crew of specially trained military astronauts flew those missions. Now, if you want to check out what Clark says about all that, you can go to his website. It's the Stargate Chronicles. So just do a search on the internet for the Stargate Chronicles and check out his website. You ought to be able to find something in the NSA budget about this, right? Well, these deep space probes are reported to be launched using DOD funds. Department of Defense. They don't use NASA funds. It's Department of Defense funds. And in their budget, there is a line. It's in Space Operations Budget under subparagraph E, parentheses 1, parentheses G. And it is listed as an expenditure titled Test Probes. So maybe that's it. It could be. All right. What's going on in space? Well, we don't know. We're kept in the dark. Most of us are trying to find out. We want to know what's going on. We want to know, especially if there's anything extraterrestrial about all of this. Is there any ET component to what's going on there? We would love to know. I want to say, before I open up the telephone lines, that the NSA is a strange agency. It is and I say that as an observation, not a criticism. It's a strange agency because it's super secret, really super secret. And it's an agency that you would do well to fear. But it's also an agency that you would do well to thank. They do a lot of things, very, very secretive things, but they do lots and lots of things that keep you safe each and every day if you live in the United States of America. They do a lot of things that keep you safe and sound and able to go about your business, and able to do all those wonderful things you just do every day and take for granted every day without a lot of fear, without, you know, a lot of stress about it. You just go do your life. Well, the NSA, they're not the only folks doing things to keep us safe, but they are some of them. And they certainly play, I think, a very positive role in our system of government and in our society. They may also be playing a negative role. Maybe. There are lots of reports, again, all over the internet, and when you see things on the internet, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, but we hear a lot of negative things about the NSA as well. But it would seem to me that given the purposes and the mission of the National Security Agency, the NSA, it would seem to me that they would naturally be involved if there was any evidence whatsoever for extraterrestrial intelligent life. If there is any evidence for that, then the NSA quite naturally would have to be involved because of their mission. And so they quite naturally then would be sending intelligence gathering probes into deep space. Now, it doesn't mean because they have probes out there, it doesn't automatically mean that there is an ET involvement. It could be some other purposes. But if there is, if there's even a hint of reality to the existence of extraterrestrial intelligent life, then you know what? The NSA has to be involved. Okay, I haven't opened the phone lines, and so we won't be taking that call. We will open the phone lines in just a moment. When I do, we want you to call. Okay, now, you follow the train of thought there? You follow what I'm saying? If there are extraterrestrial intelligent beings out there, it is a given that the National Security Agency is going to be out there trying to get intelligence on them. And according to this information that I shared with you, they have one probe that's out there monitoring selective frequencies in deep space. It is called the Cocker Peak satellite. It was launched in 1989 aboard an Atlas rocket. So it just makes sense. And Clark McClellan said that, yes, indeed, some of these highly classified missions were launched from the Kennedy Space Center. And he describes it. So it would seem to me to be just a natural thing that, if you're listening, you know, I'm going to have to do something with this microphone. It is in the way. If you're listening to selected frequencies in deep space, it would seem to me a logical conclusion that the reason you're listening is because somebody is, from time to time, broadcasting on those frequencies. Who? Who is in deep space broadcasting anything at all? Who? If it's not us humans, ladies and gentlemen, it has to be someone else. So far as we know, we humans are the only intelligent life in this corner of the universe. If it's not us, that means there is other intelligent life out there broadcasting on those frequencies. Now that I'm just making a logical leap there. I cannot tell you, and I am not saying that I know this for sure. I am saying that that's what the information seems to indicate. You may have a different take on this. There's more than one way to see things. Maybe you've got an entirely different take on this. Maybe you've got a perspective that's entirely from a different point of view. When we come back from this break, I'll open the phone lines and you can chime in. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Our telephone number, we're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, The telephone number is 888-223-4599. What do you think about all of this? Now, I've thrown a lot of stuff out here at you tonight, and, you know, some of it is verifiable, some of it is not, as far as I know, verifiable, but it's information that is out there. Let's hash through this. Let's talk about it. Let's find where you are on this. You know, a lot of stuff here on this thing about the NSA and their launches. I mean, a lot of it's very interesting. Like, you've got one that's monitoring selected frequencies in deep space. You've got one that's in orbit beyond Jupiter, one that's in orbit beyond the Moon, one in orbit beyond Titan, one in orbit beyond Neptune. And the first one was launched in 1965. We don't know what it is. We know it went up on a Titan rocket, but we don't know what it is or what it's doing up there. All right, the telephone lines are open, and our flash message feature is open. If you happen to live outside of the USA and you happen to live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. And I'll be more than happy to read it, and we'll respond to it on air. You just go to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the link that says Flash Message, and that's it, okay? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Interesting questions.
Speak directly into your phone.
Yeah, I'm speaking in my phone.
Okay.
I think there's a lot that is going on. I think what you're talking about, I agree with it. There's a lot of things that our government, you know, of course, doesn't tell us, and I think this is one of the things they kind of just, you know, think, again, you know, we're not going to really be paying too much attention to it, and, you know, we're going to kind of keep our heads in the sand, so to speak, and yeah, I think it's just really interesting, and I think they've got all these, as you were talking about, they've got all these satellites out there doing all these different things, and maybe, you know, it's their way of trying to see about, you know, other life in the universe beside our own. But, I mean, I already know it exists, so, you know, I mean, it's no news to me, but I just wanted to kind of bring up last night with Dick Criswell when he was on the show. I noticed there were a number of questions that you were asking him that he was very secretive about. You know, it seemed like he just could not answer them. You know, I don't know if that's due to the fact that you know, these the questions that you were asking him were projects that were ongoing, or if he didn't either know the answers to your questions or what. But I tend to believe that there's just a lot of the information that you of the questions that you asked him, he just couldn't comment on them because these are ongoing projects and ongoing explorations. So,
well, anytime I talk with Dick Criswell, I'm talking with someone that I can very quickly run up against information that he's not able to tell us. It's right. Classified information. And when that happens, of course, then, you know, I have to just accept when he says, well, I can't talk about that.
Right, right. I mean, you can't push the issue, definitely. But he just had me very curious about, like, some of the questions that you asked him, specifically about this knowledge that he has about, you know, within the next, you know, 5 to 6 months about, you know, this big event that's supposed to be happening. And I tend to look at it differently. I mean, I've spoken to Michael Elasian about these things, and, you know, Michael has channeled higher dimensional beings, and I think that what is going to happen might be something. It's definitely going to be mind opening. I mean, eye opening, and surprising a lot of people. But I don't think it's going to be very ominous to the fact of the way that Dick was talking about, because the way he was answering, or some of the semi-answers that he could give you, it sounded very ominous, you know, and very negative, whereas I don't tend to think that that's going to really be the case at all. I think there's going to be, you know, some things that we're not going to expect, but I don't really think it's going to be to the point of the air that he was talking in.
Well, like I said to him, I told him on the air, I hope you're dead wrong. And he says that he hopes he's dead wrong too.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, and then him responding with that. And I tend to think that that's what's going to happen. I think that the information that he got from this general who's very high up in rank, I'm not saying that the general is misinformed. I think that it's just from what the general has probably told Dick, or the information that the general has given, that has made available to, that the information that he's made available to Dick Criswell, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be, something will happen, but not in the way that the general told him, meaning that it may be the information, but it may be a completely, like, on a different tangent or something, or a different result. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it could be. It could be. You know, and I don't know. I really don't know how to comment, because I don't know what it is that Dick knows. And so I don't know what he's been told. So I, you know, all I can say is I hope that he's dead wrong. Okay? I hope he is. Now, he's a friend of mine. Through the show, I've never met him personally, but through the show, he's a friend, and you know, I respect whatever he has to say, but I hope he's wrong. And look, the New World Order stuff, if all of that stuff is as real as many people believe it to be, and it may be, if it is, it's going to happen whether there's extraterrestrials or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, it's if it is everything that has been described by all of the people that have researched and written about it, if it is all of that, it goes back centuries. And, you know, it's we have more to worry about from each other, from other humans, than we do from ETs, if that stuff is just as real as what it has been described.
Right.
And I'm not saying, by phrasing it that way, I'm not saying that I discount it.
Right.
I'm simply saying, assume that it's as real as all those writers say it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then take ET completely out of the equation, and all of that New World Order stuff will still happen.
Exactly. Who was it that called in and made the comment about he believed that I know it was one of the guys that called in. I know it wasn't one of the gals. He made the comment something to the effect that he thinks it's going to be an ET with, like, you know, the ET controlling the thing, and then the New World Order sort of being like a
puppets.
A puppet.
Yeah, I remember the call. I don't remember who it was that made that comment.
It wasn't Stefan, was it?
I really don't remember.
Yeah, I remember that comment, because, I mean, it was very thought-provoking. When I heard it, I said, geez, you know, that's kind of interesting. And then I thought, well, it's an interesting fact, you know, it's an interesting comment, but I don't think that's going to happen like that. I also liked the comment that you made about if, you know, everybody pretty much minded their own business, you know, including the U.S., that world peace would come about, and I agree with you 100%. I really do.
It would happen in 24 hours. If 100% of the countries on this planet just pull all of their stuff that they're doing all over the world back home, and I'm not talking about trade, I'm talking about bring their militaries home, bring all their spies home. If everybody did it, in a perfect world, you might could get this. Just bring all that stuff home. Within 24 hours, you'd have world peace.
Right. Anything other than humanitarian efforts, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to. You don't have to become protectionist and not trade with other countries. But, you know, you just say, look, they have their form of government. They do things the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we do things the way we do. Okay? But the problem is, see, that's a little simplistic. The problem is, some of them, when they do things the way they do, what they do is try to conquer other nations.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, and unfortunately, I think it's in human nature to want to, you know, it's just really hard for, you know, for people to mind their own business. I mean,
listen.
It's really difficult. I think it's just something that's ingrained in the human psyche.
If it were not ingrained in the human psyche, if you were not 100% correct, all the tabloids would be out of business by morning.
Well, that's why I don't read them.
Mm-hmm. But see, the reason they exist is because we all like to interfere with other people's business.
Right. I would rather listen to, you know, your show and talk in my my chat rooms on Pal Talk, you know, in the spirituality chat rooms about these different topics because, you know,
yeah.
I've got. You know, I my belief is just let everybody else do their own thing and you know.
And be happy.
But
yeah. Debbie, I got to run along. I got some more calls stacked up. Thanks for the call.
Talk to you later. Uh-huh.
Interesting, considering the topic that we're talking about tonight, when Debbie first came online, all that waviness in the telephone line, gives one pause for thought, doesn't it? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Sorry about that earlier there when I tried to call in. I was setting up my redial button there.
Okay. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Debbie said I just spoke about Pal Talk, and I'm back with Doug and the crew, and we're talking about listening to the show and whatnot. We're listening. We're part of the alien agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that this whole space thing, that this reminds me of Gary McKinnon and Richard Hoagland and the secret space program about what's going on up there. And from all the stuff that they've been talked about, the books that some of these people have written, and the interviews that they've conducted with various people, yourself included, there's definitely something going on up there. And of course, you talk about this whole New World Order system that was mentioned also, where they wanted to get everybody in a control grid. And one of the best ways to do it, of course, is through the satellite systems. I think it all builds towards that. And of course, like you mentioned last night with Dick Criswell, where a lot of these satellites are pointing outwards. And you know, I think there's a lot to this secret space program that we're not being told about. And, you know.
Well, yeah, look, you know, sometimes people will call in here and say, do you think we have a secret space program? Of course we do. Since, look, even if I had done, no research on the Internet, way back, see, I'm an old guy. I remember when Alan Shepard took that very first manned space flight for the United States. It's not the first one in history. It's the first one for the United States. And all they did is shot him up into the edge of space, and he came right straight back down. No orbit. I watched that on television. I was a little kid. I watched that. I've been with the NASA space program since they've had a NASA space program. And all through those years, up till now, from time to time, there have been space flights by NASA where they say, you know, it's the cargo is classified. They take some cargo up and it's classified. So there's no reporting on that other than that happened. So is that a secret space program? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, a lot of the pictures that they've taken of some of these planets that are allegedly dead, barren rocks, Yet a lot of these photos have been admitted by NASA and all by the others that these things are these photos are classified top secret. Well, if these are barren rocks, why classify these things top secret? So obviously something going on either for a military purpose, probably maybe out against other nations on the planet, or maybe against some alien forces.
I think it was Richard Hoagland, and my memory may not be correct on this, but I think Richard Hoagland told us about a mission where they extensively photographed a certain section of the moon, and over a million photographs, and they're all classified.
Yeah, that's because they found structures on that moon. Of course, then if you look at, if you watch Project Camelot's interview with Richard Hoagland from 2007, you'll find that Richard Hoagland even proves that there's at least a glass dome on the moon using lights and prisms on how light reflects off of glass.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it has been policy that if anything of an extraterrestrial nature is ever found, they've got to classify it top secret.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole nature of the secret space program, and why we're not hearing anything about it. And anything that does go on in space, other than what they want to tell us, is a top secret. And also, you remember that transmission from NASA transmission from 1989, where the astronauts are up there, and you heard we have the alien spacecraft under observance.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I may still have that keyed up here. Let me see.
Questa è una registrazione radio dello shuttle decodificata o passata in chiaro per errore.
We are retransmitting the Space Shuttle Aircraft Communication from Mission 20. This is WA3NAX.
Houston, this is Discovery. We still have the alien spacecraft under observance.
I don't know if you could hear it, but I just played the soundtrack of that. And you're exactly right. Hey, listen, thanks for the call. I got to move on.
All right, have a good night, Kev.
All right. Yeah, there is a secret space program, but there always has been. Since there's been a NASA, there's been a secret space program. NASA's the one out front that you and I hear about. There's always been a secret space program out there, and it's the one we don't hear too much about. We hear a few things, but we don't hear too much about it. I have a flash message from Croatia, and it says here his name is Bob in Hrvatska. Dobro došli. Moj drug. I appreciate the email. And here's what it says. Actually, it's in response to last night. I got it tonight, but it's in response to last night. And it says, I don't think that your guests have really thought all this through. Questions about the government and New World Order. It looks to me that he's just repeating right-wing talking points. There is 300 million of you people over there. If you want your country to dissolve, it will. When my former country was dissolving, Yugoslavia, there was not too many people that wanted it, so it dissolved. If enough people want it dissolved, the USA will dissolve. I don't think you're there yet. I agree with you. I don't think we are there yet. But what I point out on this show is that the people that get elected to go be the government need to keep in mind exactly what you just said to us, Bob. When the people that are being governed reach a point that they consider the government to be irrelevant, that government is toast. It's out of business. And what happened to Yugoslavia is exactly that. And you just described it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Stefan?
Oh, I'm doing good. Kevin, I actually have a question for you.
All right.
In regards to all this.
Mm-hmm.
Are humans good as a whole?
No.
Okay, so if we're not good as a whole...
But it doesn't follow that we are evil as a whole.
No.
Okay. I don't think we are intrinsically good, and I don't think we are intrinsically evil. I think we are what we are, and we make the choices to be what we are. And some people choose to be good, and some people choose to do evil. And I don't think there's any blanket that you can put over the whole human race.
Right, right. I agree with that. I guess where I'm coming to with that is if humans, or the majority of humans, or people that are governing the planet, if they fear aliens or extraterrestrials, what faction are we on? Like, are we on the good side? Are we on the bad side? I mean, what... I'm kind of undecided on that whole thing. Because we're not doing too good for this planet as a species right now.
Well, if left to our own devices, we're going to annihilate each other or kill the planet and thus annihilate all of us. Left to our own devices, we are destructive, even with the best intentions sometimes, good intentions, and still we're destructive. So left to our own devices, I think, we don't have a really long future. I don't think it'll end next week, but I think time is short on a galactic scale. So which faction are we on? I'm not really sure that we're consciously, any of us, on a few may be, but most of us are not with any faction related to extraterrestrials. We're pretty much standing on our own 2 feet, and we've been left out on our own 2 feet by a government that will not give us information, and therefore we are subject to tsunamis of speculation.
Yeah.
And so you've heard me say, if you don't put the data, the evidence on the table, then all speculation is on the table. And any speculation is just as valid as any other speculation. The problem is, some of that speculation might actually embody the truth, and you don't know, you know. And so you're standing there on your own 2 feet getting whipped around by all these tsunamis of information and speculation. It could all be solved by just putting the truth out on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even with all the truth, I mean, how do you really know? Like, it really comes down to your own gut feeling on the whole thing anyway, doesn't it?
Well, there are things that they could provide us that would nail down for us whether they're telling us the truth or not. There are points of reality that they could nail down for us. And if they did that, it would be a great help. Stefan, you want to hang on through the break?
No, Kevin, I'm going to let you go. You answered pretty much everything I wanted. I just want to wish you well for the rest of the show and the season.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, or you can give me a call on the toll-free line at 888-223-4599. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, how you doing, Kevin? It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, I don't know if anyone mentioned it, but you're kind of crackly breaking up here.
We hear you just fine, Terry. Go ahead.
Okay. I just went to, with this satellites out there, appearing into deep space listening. I kind of, whether they are or what they're doing. But what, I find surprising, and maybe... goes along with that is that they're willing to shut down NASA like if they don't need it anymore, but yet a thing that's been a joke of science since its inception is SETI, And I just watched the other day where they got one. I think it's in the United States, but don't hold me to that. But they got like 35 arrays, and by the time they're done with it, they're going to have like 300, roughly, or whatever, that amount. I mean, it's supposed to be huge. They're supposed to be able to scan the visible, the whole 100% of the visible sky, you know, in that area, wherever it's at that time, so they don't have to focus on one object. So I would iterate that that they say they're not hearing anything, you know, they're not telling us anything, but yet I believe, you know, there must be possibly, you know, an undercover, you know, secret receptions that they are receiving that, you know, otherwise why would they fund it?
Well, that's a good point. If it's if they're not finding anything out there, why do they keep funding it? And I'm not for closing SETI down. I have my doubts as to the value of it, but I would say that anything that's going on that could possibly, even possibly, bring about some disclosure for us, we ought to keep it going. And SETI is one of those things, so maybe they'll find something.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, it this one makes sense. You know that they, you know, there's a purpose, and then, you know, they need it for something, or else it just wouldn't keep going.
Yeah.
Also, as far as NASA and their $18 billion budget, you know, and you know, whining about that. Yeah, you know, I go along with you that, you know, it has to be a civil organization, and we need to get the military out of it. And, yeah, there's got to be some oversight, because I suppose they ain't going to let them tell us everything.
Yeah, but they should.
Yeah.
They should double their budget and then tell them to stop all that nonsense about, you know, covering stuff up. That's what they need to do. And if they would do that, I support doubling NASA's budget. If they will, if the president will give them the directives to open up and be transparent. And Terry, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And I could be wrong, but I believe this to be true. Instituting and implementing openness and transparency at NASA is just as easy as when they installed the directives that made them cover stuff up. All they got to do is issue, the president issues new directives, that's it. It's just as easy as when we went the other way.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the reasons why they want to get rid of it, one is if they do have a secret program. Another is that they're afraid that someday, you know, one of those guys are going to, you know, let something out of the bag, you know, and then they're going to be, you know, set there trying to explain, you know, what the deal is, because, you know, somebody leaked this, and, you know, it's a liability to them probably, I think, now.
Well, I'm not, look, I don't dispute what you just said. I'm not sure why there is this reticence in Washington about funding NASA. They had no reticence about funding the auto industry. They had no reticence about dumping billions of dollars into banks that are doing everything they can to bankrupt this country by taking people's homes away. They had no reticence about giving billions of dollars to AIG. And, you know, we're talking in the, by this point, we're talking in the trillions of dollars. And with NASA, you're talking, if you double their budget, you're talking about $36 billion. That's all. And that is a drop in the bucket, a very small drop.
Yeah. Well, here's one for you. Back in, I just heard on TV the other day, they were discussing the drug lord czars that we have now. And this was, they were talking about back in Clinton's time, that office, you know, of, I don't know what they call it.
Yeah, the drug czar.
Yeah, and their budget, guess what it was?
What was it?
$18.5 billion.
More than NASA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and they expect NASA to go explore the universe on $18 billion. Nonsense. That's insane. And the people in Congress that have anything to do with NASA need either to get some sanity about them or just admit that they are loony and go home. Look, if NASA is needed, but it needs to change. But it also needs the money. And these guys are handing out money like it's candy on Halloween. And, you know, so give NASA the money they need. Give them the directives to open up and be honest and transparent. And let's get on with this.
Yeah, that, you know, it's like they said, you know, the congressmen and the people in charge of this narcotics war, whatever, they all admit that it's not winnable, but it's fundable.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of money involved in it. Okay, Terry, I got to move along, man. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Take care, guys.
All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. What do you think about this? We've been talking about, you know, these deep space probes and satellites that in some cases it's the U.S. Air Force, in some cases it's the NSA. And, you know, a lot of information is out there. There needs to be more, but a lot of information is out there about these programs. For a lot of people, though, they think, wow, I never heard of this before. So they think it's new. It's not new. It goes back to 1965. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Doing well, sir.
I've been watching your show here. A lot of interesting concepts being kicked around. And, you know, another thing, too, that people may or may not have thought about is for the first 175 years or so, this government didn't have a whole lot of people trying to gain access to a lot of information. But with the invention of the Internet, all of a sudden it's being swamped and overwhelmed with people trying to find things out.
Yeah, that's true.
So they may not be emotionally, even today, prepared to put out this kind of information, even though they know at some point they're going to have to.
Well, the thing is, the information is out. You know, that's the thing. You've heard me talk about this, Mike, and I don't know, you may agree with it, you may disagree, but what I've said is on disclosure, it's sort of like the marching band at the football game. The band is already on the field. The halftime show is beginning. And if they want to be leaders in the new paradigm that's shaping up, they need to run out there and get in front of the band because the show is about to start.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I know that this administration claimed that they were going to be a transparent group. They were going to put the truth out there for people, but it seems to me like that they've just clamped down tighter than ever.
Well, it does seem that way right now with reference to UFOs, and that may be the case. But let's consider for a moment a possibility. Let's consider that maybe they really want to be open and transparent about this. They would like to do disclosure. But their best intelligence is telling them, all these intelligence probes that are out there in space are telling them that there is some threat coming up, and it's coming from space. Now, that look, folks, that is purely a hypothetical. Don't everybody go say that I said that's the case. I'm saying, what if that is the case? And then, you know, they're going at that point, are you familiar with force protection? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. For those who don't, force protection, an attack starts and in an area where a military is operating, and they go into force protection, which means they pull in side their base. They have defensive positions, and they are protecting their own forces. Okay? And so they go into force protection. It's sort of like everybody pull the shades down, lock the doors kind of thing. So you may have that sort of a situation going on where, you know, they would like to disclose, but, hey, we'll have to deal with that later. We've got this problem coming from deep space. If that's the case, then I would expect them to act just like they're acting.
Well, you realize also that a lot of these satellites, which are being acted like boosters, if you will, you know, signal boosters, could also be being used in tracking some of our older, like the Pioneer satellites,
mm-hmm.
that have gone out of our solar system.
Yeah, it could be.
So, plus, did you ever get a chance to look for that video online, that Stellar? Interstellar?
Oh, no, I haven't had a chance. Believe me, those sort of things have to get at the end of my day, and my day is 25 hours long.
Sure, but I think once you see that in Jose Escamilla, he did a pretty good job with producing that, but some of those space stations out there, or whatever they are, way out in deep space, they appear to be morphing into different shapes and changing. So I don't know of anything that we've got. Even our space station, I don't think, can do any of that.
As far as I know, it can't. Hey, we've got a break coming up here in about 20 seconds, so I'm going to have to run. But, Mike, thanks for the call.
You're very welcome. Talk
All right.
to you later.
All right, folks, we'll take more of your calls when we come back. We have a flash message from Australia that I'm going to read. And hopefully we'll have time to take another call or two. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have time for another call or two, 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Those numbers will work anywhere in the world, but if you're outside the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. Speaking of which, we've got one here from Australia. Andrew writes, I saw a video in which a camera crew went inside one of the National Reconnaissance Office monitoring buildings where the orbiting spy satellites are monitored and controlled. And the reporter asked why half of the spy satellites were facing out into space and not monitoring the Earth's surface. The officer conducting the tour stated that he could not answer that because it's classified. So the NRO is monitoring something coming towards the Earth from space, or there would be no need for the satellites to face into space. You, sir, are exactly correct. But what is it? Now, I don't want this show ever to cause people anxiety and fear. I know that it's inevitable. Some of the things that we talk about are new to some people, and because it's new, it seems fearful to them. And there's no way we can get around that. But I don't want to add anything to that. I don't want to add any dynamics to that. And so I want to say that it's very important that you understand. We have little tiny bits of information. Some of it is good information, and we can verify it. Some of it we think is pretty good information, but we're not 100% sure about it. All right? And so when you look at this, you have to look at it from the standpoint, or I think you do, you have to look at it from the standpoint that whenever our government does not put all of the evidence out on the table for us, then we're not playing a game where we've got all the cards we need. And therefore, speculation comes up on the table. Now, it's not my fault that people speculate. It's not your fault that people speculate. If there is fault to be assigned, it is to be assigned to those who keep the secrets. Now, maybe they have to keep those secrets. I'm not saying that they don't. I do think they keep way too many things secret that really have no business being secret. That's an opinion. However, if there is fault to be assigned for all of the speculation that goes on, it is those, the fault belongs to those who keep the secrets and do not put the evidence, the data on the table for us. When you pull data off of the table or keep it from ever getting there, what happens is what comes to the table then is speculation. And without data on the table, speculation, all speculation, is on the table. And any speculation is just as valid as any other speculation. So that's the environment in which we have to operate. That's the soup in which we swim. And there's nothing that I can do about that. There's nothing that you can do about that so long as the data isn't being presented to us. We know that the data, full data, is not being presented to us. One of the things that I've talked about with NASA is, you know, we keep being told that there's virtually no atmosphere on Mars and that the atmospheric pressure at the surface is less than 1% of Earth's. And then you have NASA, they turn right around and have this program, this project, where they're going to build an airplane to fly on Mars. You've heard me talk about that. Now, you can't fly an airplane if there is no air. If the atmospheric pressure at the surface is less than 1% of Earth, it's 0.07%, they say, on average. If that's the case, as you move away from the surface, the pressure drops. So it gets less and less and less. Now, at the surface, there's not enough atmosphere, if what they're telling us is true, there's not enough atmosphere to fly the airplane. You know, with wings, the way an airplane works is you have to have sufficient airflow over the wings to create lift. Well, if there's not sufficient air, you cannot have sufficient airflow. All right, that's one example. We know that if they had a project going where they're designing an airplane to fly remotely, to fly on Mars, then we know that the air pressure at the surface is not 0.07% of Earth. I mean, that's very simple to figure that out. So that's just one example of the data being cooked before it's given to us, or the correct data not being placed on the table. Now, this sort of thing happens all the time, and we're well aware of that. We know that. But when we take, as I have this evening, we take what information is available, and we start parsing it, and we start thinking about it logically, it is entirely possible that we wind up with a picture that's not the real picture. Keep that in mind. I think that's also possible with people looking at the evidence and data for the New World Order. Not that I think the New World Order is a good thing, but I think it's entirely possible that we wind up with an inaccurate picture. On the other hand, all we can do is all we can do. We can't do more than the maximum. There isn't more than the maximum. So if what we do is we gather as much information as we possibly can, and then we try to parse it and we try to put together whatever picture that information provides us, then that's the picture we have. And I would say to those who keep the secrets, if we've got the wrong picture and you would like for us to have a more correct picture, don't just grouse about it. Put the pieces of the puzzle on the table so that we can see what the picture really looks like. It's really that simple, you know. People who listen to this show and other shows similar to this show are not stupid. If anything, these are some of the brightest people on the planet. And they're really working overtime to try and put the pieces together, such pieces as we have. So the secret keepers would do well to not assume that we are fools and that we are stupid. We're doing a pretty good job of putting the pieces together. Don't assume that simply because we don't have the pieces you have that we're stupid. We're not. And we're capable of getting an accurate picture if you give us the accurate information. And I hope you will. I don't know if, in fact, we will get all the pieces, folks. But I'll do my best to continue bringing such pieces of the picture, of the puzzle, as I can find. And then it's up to you to put the pieces together in your mind. All right, that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.